Everybody loves them.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, okay. Well, Representative West, would you like to make the motion?
Chair, having truly reviewed the minutes.
I don't know what you are implying.
I have them right here, Representative Ness.
I move approval of the minutes from May 15th, 2025.
Representative West moves approval of our minutes from May 15th, 2025. Discussion to the motion. Seeing no discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails and the minutes are approved. The sole bill on our agenda today is Senate File 2884 from Representative Lilly. Representative Lilly, would you like to move your bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair, that's my motion.
Representative Lilly moves that Senate File 2884 be recommended to be placed on the general register. Before Representative Lilly explains the bill, I will turn to nonpartisan staff to state the target for this bill and if the bill is in compliance with the target.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So the target was $80 million for the pension bill for in each biennium, and the balance of the two biennia do meet that target.
All right. And with that, I will turn it over to Representative Lilly to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Co-Chair, Representative Torgelson and members. Thank you for hearing our bill today. And I'm going to maybe start a little bit unconventionally. This is a product of the Pension Commission. And we had a very solid vote in the commission and a solid vote today on the Senate floor on our product. I'm going to start a little unconventional, I said, and thank staff. We have amazing staff with Susan Wincheski, and Elena Wilson and Lisa Dyson just really did great work. And of course, our partisan staff was incredible on both sides. And I don't know if they need names or do you want to name yours, but Coley and Kyle did great work. But the product is something I think that we all can be really happy about. And it does some amazing work. The House had an incredible a position from our leaders of on both sides of the aisle. Speaker Damoth and Speaker Hortman came up with really some leading work in this space, and we were able to, and then with Chair Torgelson and Chair Stevenson here, you were also able to come up with a really solid number for us to work with. And we were able to do some incredible work, especially with the teachers of Minnesota and in the police and fire areas and some other things that we were able to do. And before we get going too far, I want to, we shared a great partnership, the two of us, and I'm just really grateful for working with Mr. Representative O'Driscoll. And I'm new to this space in the pensions. I've been in legislature a long time, but it's just really been an honor to work with him, and you can tell he's been on the commission for a long time. But this product is really something that we can be proud of, and so I'd like to pass to my co-chair, or co-lead, or whatever we're calling ourselves, Representative O'Driscoll.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Co-Chair Torkelson, and members of the Ways and Means Committee. The 2025 pension bill has a lot of policy-related matters that the commission has worked on. And since this is the Finance Committee and the Ways and Means, I'm going to focus this afternoon on the $80 million and what happened to that. It was agreed upon between the teachers and those in education and those in public safety, which included the county PERA, so county police, county and city fire, city police, persons in that space, as well as the state patrol. The state patrol's portion of the half that they had in the $80 million appropriation, they chose to move their COLA from 1.0% to 1.25%. And the police and fire chose to move up the time frame for the delay in their COLA by 1 year, which is something that was a goal of that group this session. And there was also giving a 2% base increase in benefit to those who retired on or after December 31st of 2024, or excuse me, before December 31st of 2024, with the hope of being able to make up for lost time in inflation because they do not participate in Social Security. So they have lost out in all of the Social Security cost of living adjustments, and they felt that that was a way that they could take care of retirees. Moving over to the education part of that, there was no allocation for the St. Paul teachers. We oftentimes do want to give allocations, but there was an agreement that Education Minnesota and that the rest of the teachers that would be in that plan would be given the other $40 million. And through the $40 million appropriation and the normal pension processes of how that money would be distributed to schools and then paid back on behalf of each teacher to be able to help mark their pension benefit, and using of what's called a sufficiency, they came to an agreement, and the TRA board signed off on that. Pension Commission spent 3.5 hours last night going through several different components, one of which we're talking about here today. So that's in high numbers, the breakdown of the $80 million. We stayed within target.
Thank you. Any discussion to the bill? Representative Novotny.
Thank you, Chair. And both chairs that are on this, thank you for moving this forward. And I was not at the committee meeting last night, but it sounds like there's considerable and justifiable concern about some of the people involved in the PERA plan, that if they are physically disabled but not fully and permanently disabled, about the health insurance being limited, and hope that in the interim that some work can be done on helping them, because there's considerable concern that if they have this disability assignment and then go try to get insurance on their own, what would that be? So just looking for a confirmation from both of you that, you know, that is something that will be moved forward and will be handled in the next session.
Mr. Chair, if you'd like.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Chair Novotny, happy to address that issue. What you're referring to is the duty disability reforms that are in the bill. Anyone who currently is on duty disability as of the date of enactment on this has no change in benefits whatsoever. Prospectively, what happens is if you are a person who is permanently but not totally disabled, you're given a 5-year window of disability benefits and 5 years of insurance, meaning that you would still be able to maybe transition to a different career on there. We felt that that is a good place to start with some of the reforms, given the fact that the number of duty disability claims have gone up, and that can cause some problems with the funding of the plan overall. We have had some discussions since last night with some of the stakeholders, and more people want to get together at the table to do that. So even if someone were to be determined that they're on a 5-year benefit period, they would not fall off the cliff until 5 years, and the commission does not want to wait that long to address this issue. As a matter of fact, some members have already stepped forward and wanting to form a work group and identifying the right staff within the system here at the legislature to get started on that.
Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Chair Novotny. I think it was well covered there, and there is a commitment from the board, you know, from our group to the commission to continue to work on this. But I think it was a needed step at this point, and I think there's a big problem that, you know, I actually wasn't aware of, and it's so I think this goes a long way to addressing this problem for you know, the people that are impacted on both ends, employer, the cities and counties, and beyond that, employers, but also the employees, so that the people, obviously, that need it are going to get it and, you know, get the access to it, and then maybe people that are not being as respectful to the whatever the funds as you might want them to be, or we can deal with that problem as well. So, yeah, but we're certainly open to working on this, and I appreciate the question.
Representative Abney.
Thank you, Chair. That's all.
Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Chairs, for all your work on this. I know the TRA stuff was a long haul and a long time in the making. And I just was wondering if Ms. Andreessen can walk through the tracking sheet, because I'm trying to figure out if the money going in to pay the employer portion, the 0.31%, is in the base and ongoing, or how that works on that general education aid pension adjustment revenue line.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So you have a tracking document in your packets, and it does show how the appropriations are made. And to Representative Joachim's question, under the section that is titled the Teachers Retirement Association, this is reflecting the contributions that are made from the general fund on behalf of these state agencies. So the Department of Education gets $4,000 per year. The Minnesota State Academies get $17,000 per year. Perpich Center for the Arts will receive $5,000 per year. And then MinSCU, the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities, receives $543,000 per year.
Representative Joachim.
Oh, actually, I was thinking the second line down, the general education aid pension adjustment revenue. Sorry, that part.
My apologies.
Ms. Adrian.
It's okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Yes, so this is the much bigger portion. So this is the adjustment for the gen ed aid. And so this, the total of it, it's just over $17 million in fiscal year 26. And then the ongoing amount is $19.7 million and then $19.6 million ongoing.
Okay, thank you.
So I see no further discussion. So Representative O'Driscoll, if you wanted to, it seems like you have something to say on that point, and then if you just want to move into your closing comments after that.
I will, but I just want to underscore that this is not something that's going to affect the target for the education finance bill. We're sending this money out to the school district so they pay it back because everybody has a different salary point. It's bookkeeping. If you want to talk more about it afterwards, I'll be available. Good. I didn't think anybody wanted to talk about it. So, Mr. Chair, thank you. That's all I wanted to say today.
All right. Closing comments, Representative Lilly.
Again, I want to thank the speakers, Damoth and Hortman. I mean, it's really impressive what we were able to done, and you two chairs of this committee. And I think the work that's done in this space is something that we all can be really proud of, taking care of our helping take care of our state workers. And there's amazing products in here. And I didn't mention a lot of the funds are staffed by a lot of great people over here on our left. And they really take this work so serious. And, we've seen markets go up and down, certainly recently and beyond, but it's amazing how serious they take these tasks. And we're talking big numbers. This is a big deal. It's important to people in the state of Minnesota. So thank you.
All right. And with no further discussion, Representative Lilly renews his motion that Senate File 2884 be recommended to be placed on the general register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails, and Senate File 2884 is recommended to be placed on the general register. Members, I do think that perhaps this is our last meeting of the Ways and Means Committee this year. We have nothing further scheduled. I'll turn over to my co-chair for some brief remarks, but before that, I just want to see if he agrees with me. I don't believe that there were any shenanigans in the Ways and Means Committee this year. Can you certify that there were no shenanigans? Maybe we should have our nonpartisan staff certify. But,
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I can certify there are none that you know of.
Well played. I would first like to thank my vice chair, Kristen Robbins, for her work. Thank my staff members, CA Harry Kennedy, CLA Allie Spellman, and researcher Matt Eitinger. And also especially like to thank our house research team. I did Emily Adrians and Colby Sullivan. I'd also like to thank you, Mr. Chair, and your staff. I think we had a well-run committee. Neither of us have ever done this before, and I feel that we communicated effectively and ran an efficient committee that got its work done. I'd like to thank all the committee members for their work on Ways and Means.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I echo that. I think that this committee and you and I can be very proud of the work of the Ways and Means Committee this year. I think that we had a very difficult assignment that had no precedent, and we managed to do our work and do it well. And I would also echo your thanks to our excellent nonpartisan staff. Ms. Adrians and Mr. Sullivan, yesterday or last time we met, you recognized our page, which was much appreciated. We also have had excellent support from the sergeants and House Info. I, of course, want to thank our vice chair on the DFL side, Representative Bajé, and then all members, again, for, I think, having a really well-functioning committee that we will return to in 2026. And with that, the meeting is adjourned.